buddy. Welcome back to the Gibberish Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rodriguez. With me, as always, Joshua Killsdonk.
Hey,
Josh,
hey.
How's it going tonight?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Thanks for having me back. Good to be back.
Absolutely, dog. Yeah, so what you just listened to, I don't know if you're familiar with the man. They call him U-S-H-E-R-R-A-Y-M-O-N-D. Usher, baby. That's going to be your Super Bowl halftime performer next weekend. And the beauty of it is that I guarantee you nobody knows that fucking music. And that is what that CD, by the way, it's Usher My Way. That's the title track.
Okay.
Usher. Oh, hang on. I got to pause. Evelyn's crying. Yep.
All good.
Oh, shit. And we're back. Sorry about that. Evelyn, we're transitioning Evelyn into her own bed. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. The first few times it worked just fine. And, you know, she slept the whole night through. But as of recently, she's been waking up right around this time wanting to go back into our bedroom.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's going through another sleep regression or what. So, sorry. Didn't mean to play footsie with you. But, yeah, no. As I was saying before, though, Usher My Way, I think I've owned the album. I've owned, like, the CD probably about 8 or 9 times.
Oh, shit.
I used to play
just wear
the
them
fuck
out, or?
Out. Yeah, I used to play the fuck out of that CD. Probably one of the greatest CDs ever made. And I'm pumped that he got the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that should be awesome.
Yeah, kind of another throwback to people more relevant to our age group, which makes me feel old.
Oh, dude. You want to know what made me feel real fucking old last night?
What's that?
I was talking to Grace, and I'm, like, looking at her, I'm, like, because I'm playing some music, and she's, like, it's not.
Not ringing a bell.
Not ringing a bell at all to her. And I'm, like, this was, like, popular when I was in high school. Like,
yeah.
And I was, like, oh, shit, that's right. Like, when I was in high school, she was, like, 5.
Isn't that fucked to think about?
It's absurd to think about. Like, I finally feel like how my parents, you know what I mean? Like, I finally feel like I'm finally now starting to feel like old, like my age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really hit me last night. I was like, oh, yeah, I have to remember the fact that I'm 33 years old. There's a lot of people now who are, I'm going to meet in bars, I'm going to see at bars that are able to be in bars that I have, like, I was in middle school when they were born.
Yeah. It's insane to think that you could be born in 2002 and be... Old no, 2003 and 2000, be 21. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's... it is, and what's kind of funny, though, is you are seeing... Like, just think about this, right? So I played Usher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love Usher. Usher's amazing. I mean, J-Lo recently did the Super Bowl. Love J-Lo.
Was that with Shakira, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great halftime show.
What's crazy to think about is right now I look at, for instance, Grace and go, I'm the same age now. We're the same distance that I am away from Usher.
Ooh.
So Usher's 45 years old, which means he was in middle school when I was born.
Yeah.
Now, when I think of Usher, I go, oh, Usher's old. You know, like he's 45. He's only 45 fucking years old, man.
Damn.
And it's just like he's doing the Super Bowl. But what a fucking run, because I'm pretty sure Usher came out like with his first song when he's 17. He's been doing this 28 fucking years.
Hey, that's impressive.
At a high level. Still puts out bangers.
Yeah.
Just did a Vegas residency. Was literally, I mean, it was a destination. Like, It was a destination concert. I remember Charlamagne the God was talking about. He was like, yeah, I had to bring.
Sorry, this is.
Yeah, it's falling apart.
Doesn't have much faith. I don't have much faith.
Loosen the bottom. Loosen the bottom and push it back on. But Charlamagne the God was talking about like how he's like, oh, I need to get my wife out there. Jesus Christ, dude. It's like watching. Yeah, there you go. Okay, loosen a couple more. Yeah, and then push it on. Sorry, everybody. We got a mic stand issue. Yep, and now stand it up. Yep, you push it, push back on it, like towards the printer. So it's flat. There you go. There you go. There you go. Hey, we figured it out, everybody. Sorry about that. You would think
fucking amateur hour over here.
Yeah, you'd think 107 episodes in, we'd have that figured out by now. But anyway, no, I am excited for the Super Bowl halftime show. Far more excited about that than I am the actual game.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have asked for a worse outcome.
Pretty much.
Well, not for you. You love the Chiefs.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like I was really hoping the Ravens were going to make a run.
Yeah. I would.
I wanted Detroit in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ravens Detroit was my dream matchup if the Packers weren't going to make it.
Right.
I just feel like this Super Bowl is just lacking. It's like, yeah, these teams are always fucking here. I mean, yeah, sure, the Ravens have won two Super Bowls in like the last 20 years, but I mean,
yeah,
Lamar gets shit on for being a bad QB, like. Which is hilarious.
I mean, come on.
The dumbest shit in the world.
You're getting an extra running back and a guy who can throw lasers.
Yeah, you can throw the ball 70 yards down the fucking field. What do you mean?
Yeah.
He's a glorified running back.
And they it's been a while since I've watched the Ravens, but do they still have Mark Andrews, like a stud tight end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, he was back for that game. He had been injured. He was back for that game. Mark Andrews is the man. Zay Flowers is a budding star. Their defense is to die for. I was so happy when Roquan Smith left Chicago, not just for the fact that he's really good and I don't want him to be on Chicago.
Yeah,
I really like his play style and I really like him as like a leader. Like I like when he talks and I don't like to like anybody on the Bears, period.
It's just not worth your time. So like, not going to be there for long.
I made the comparison, you know, because everybody was like, how can you be rooting for Detroit? Detroit is like that sparring partner. Like if you're a boxer and you have that sparring partner that you just beat the shit out of all the time, and then all of a sudden he gets some fights and he starts becoming really good, you're not upset. You're like, yeah, I mean, I'd still whoop his ass, but like,
yeah,
it's like,
but good for him.
Yeah, it's like your little brother. You know, I'm a fuck up my little brother playing basketball, right? But if he's in a game and I'm watching him play, I want to see him do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've never had the right. It's not a rivalry with the Lions. We've been beating the shit out of the Lions for forever. Everybody's been beating the shit out of the Lions for forever. So it's not really a rivalry. True. So, like, it's hilarious because, like, I have friends who are Lions fans. And, like, they'll talk shit. And I just giggle. And I'm like, this is hilarious.
Not scaring me.
Yeah, like, this is hilarious. What are we even doing right now? You guys have never been relevant.
It's so true.
You've never been relevant. You wasted the best years of two of the GOATs' careers. Calvin Johnson would have arguably been the best wide receiver of all time. And look at what they did. Because they knew that fucking Detroit fucking stunk. And they didn't want to go somewhere else because they have loyalty. You know, people fall in love with the city.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson retired after 10 years. Barry Sanders retired after 10 years. You know, they cut two careers short just by the teams being dog shit.
Yeah.
And the way that they were treating them. You know, like they say that there's. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson like wanted nothing to do with the organization for a long time. After they were done. And now it's gotten a lot better because whoever the lady is that took it over, like she's doing a lot better job, clearly. And
right.
You've seen it. I also love the fact that, you know, they didn't do what the Lions do. where they bring in a coach for 1 year and he doesn't perform, and they go, wow, fuck, we got to fire him. He's not the answer either. Dan Campbell started out 0-10 his first year, and then last year they started out 1-6, ended up 9-8, mm-hmm. and now look at them this year. They let the system work. So yeah. It was really cool to see that, and I'm happy for Detroit.
Absolutely.
And if they go every year, they go 14 or 15-2, that's fine. Those two losses just better be the fucking Packers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's, and I mean, how cool would it be to actually make a rivalry of that team now? And like, we're meeting in the playoffs all the time.
Yeah, because I feel like for our division, it's basically we go to the playoffs. I mean,
Minnesota's made a couple appearances.
Right.
You know, Chicago, obviously we beat them in the NFC Championship on our way to the Super Bowl. So, like, they've put it together a couple times.
I feel like that's the last time they've really been good.
Oh, it was. Well, and that's the issue, is that they're plagued strictly by quarterback.
100%.
It's absurd that they
How many have they gone through in the
I don't know, but they've never had a 4,000-yard passer in the history of their franchise.
Holy shit.
Jordan Love in his first year had 4,200 yards passing.
That's insane. Which, talk about a stat line. I mean,
yeah.
Easy to shit on.
I don't understand.
When you compare it on paper to
the
Packers starting quarterbacks over the last, I mean, I could say 30 years and we'd still only have two quarterbacks to compare him to. Yeah. But
He had a better season first season than Aaron did. And look at what Aaron turned into. You know what I mean? My thing, though, is watching that San Francisco game. All year, people have been talking about, is Jordan Love the next Aaron Rodgers? Nah, Poppy. That last throw, that was Brett Favre written all over.
Oh,
it.
Yeah.
We got the next Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Hey, gunslinger.
I've always said that Brett Favre is the greatest quarterback of all time. And everybody's like, oh, what about all the interceptions? His stats are out there. I don't care. What are sports? Sports are entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody more entertaining to watch than Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You didn't know whether your week was going to go phenomenally or it was going to go terribly, because in the fucking fourth quarter with a minute 13 left and it's first down and we're on our own 30, he decides to try to rifle one in between six fucking defenders,
mm-hmm.
and it gets picked off because it's not even close to the wide receiver. That's going to happen with Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still entertaining to watch.
Damn straight.
And in a game where the sole purpose is to entertain the fans and the people paying to go in there, there is no greater player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he a piece of shit off the field? I don't know. That stands to be seen. You know,
yeah,
he's got some shit going on that does not look good in his favor, you know, mm-hmm. but you got to let it work its way through the courts. You know, you got to let due process happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do love, so like, he sued Pat McAfee for talking about it. And now Pat was very much allegedly, you know, so that's why he ended up dropping the suit, because he really didn't have a case. He also apologized. He's like, listen, man, like, I guess I won't fucking talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Charlamagne, once again, talking about him again. He made a very good point a few podcasts back on his podcast, Brilliant Idiots, which I listened to religiously. I fucking love Charlamagne, by the way. He's the fucking man. He's the only tie to hip hop culture I really still have, like, that I listen to religiously.
Okay.
I used to be big into hip hop culture, but like, it's not that I've gotten away from it. It's just, I don't really fuck with any of the new music. I mean, a lot of it, okay, that's not true. Like, I like Jid, and I like Vince Staples. I like Joyner Lucas. I like J. Cole, Kendrick, mm-hmm. you know, but even they're starting to age out a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't jive with Kendrick as much as I used to. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just getting older. My taste is changing. But
no, what I think it is that Kendrick has always been very... He's like an artisan cook. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to make shit that's eclectic. A lot of it hit. Some of it's not going to hit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, his album, Damn, I fucked with that album heavy. You know, that's the Bitch Be Humble, all that loyalty inside my DNA. Like, yeah, I fucked with that album heavy. Some of his more recent works, not so much, you know.
Right.
But, anyway, I digress. So, like, Charlamagne made this point. He's like, the problem with podcasting, and you're going to see this a lot, and it's going to start happening a lot, is people just think that they can say whatever the fuck they want to say without consequence. And if you start talking about shit that's going on in courts, and you're talking about shit that's legal and, like, can be defaming to people, you're going to see people get hit with a lot of lawsuits, especially if they're a big podcast, you know, like, like if Joe Rogan were to talk about Brett Favre,
imagine,
and say what a piece of shit and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you're essentially, you could be essentially tainting the jury pool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he's going to reach out and he's going to be like, you know what? I'm fucking suing you. And now you have a case for defamation. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, it is awesome that everybody has access to the platform. And I do think that it's cool that people could start pursuing the dream. Because here's the thing, what I've really realized a lot lately, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is like, there's a lot of smart people out there that will never have their voice heard because it's not really what they want to do. And I think that's, you know, but I think it's awesome that now they have the opportunity for an outlet. But as we touched on a little bit fucking a couple weeks ago, it seems like the people that get into this, and this is myself included, though I don't have any, like, thoughts or aspirations of being, like, enormous, you know, I use this more like a therapy session. I like to sit and talk to my fucking friends and get some ideas off my brain. But there's a lot of, you got to be fucking stupid to think like you're going to make it in this. And there's a lot of people that fucking talk. And it's just like all these entrepreneurs and shit, they just say some of the dumbest fucking things. If you don't have 30 rental units by the time you're 25, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, if you're not making $1 million in over the course of 2 years, then you got to ask yourself what you're doing wrong.
I seen this one guy. He literally talked about how if you were born under good circumstances, maybe you should take credit cards out and rack up a ton of credit card debt to light that fire underneath you to be successful, because you've had everything given to you, so you're lazy. And it's like, wait, what? Like, he's literally talking, he literally kept saying how you need to introduce adversity into your life so that you can become successful. You know, there's another chick that I fucking seen. She's like, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 24 years old. This is how I'm going to do it. So I work for my dad, Grant, whatever. He's the guy who literally talks about, like, he's got like 400 fucking rental properties, blah, blah, blah.
Is this Grant Cardone?
Yeah, Grant Cardone. It's his daughter. He's she's like, I work for my dad, Grant Cardone. And like, and it's just like, oh, okay. So like, nepotism, that's your secret? Like, your secret is you're a nepo baby.
Yeah,
of course you're going to be rich and by the time you're 25 years old. And sure, are you gonna do it on your own? Potentially. Is it gonna be your investments, your dad helping you with your investments? But he also gave you an $80,000 a year job starting,
right?
So coming from two different places.
Which is, what, almost three times the national average for individual?
Yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. It's it's ironic. I mean, it's just, I've never realized. So, like, you know how, like, I don't think anything's as nefarious as we used to make it out to be.
Okay.
And I'm starting to realize in my life that there's a lot of people who end up in positions that they don't deserve nor warrant. They just somehow ended up there. And a lot of it has to do with, like, it's just a perfect example, right? Lane Kiffin, college football coach. Everywhere he goes, it turns to fucking shit. Mm-hmm. Somehow he always has a fucking job.
Oh, that'd be nice.
He fails up. He took over at, I forget where he was before. Now he's at USC. I forget where he was before that. But he had a losing record and then got the coaching job at one of the most prestigious fucking athletic schools in the nation.
That's hilarious.
It's like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, because they just know him.
Mm-hmm.
They know
it's about who you know.
Yeah, it's about who you know. Not it's not about what you know. And it, that stinks. And that's why, like I said, for there are certain people out there who are like, listen, I started with fucking nothing. This is how I did it. And this is the difference between the people that you're like, oh, yeah, like this guy actually came up out the mud. They never go, this is the only way to do it. They mm-hmm. go, hey, here's some suggestions. These are some things you can look at that you can try. This worked for me. This could work for you. Or you might find, or they'll be like, find something like that for mm-hmm. you that fits you. Meanwhile, the other ones who have just kind of fell into fucking success, they're like, this is the only way to do it.
Yep.
If you're not, one guy was like breaking down, like, I broke my day up into 3 days.
Yeah,
my one day
like
starts
that.
From 4 a.m. to fucking 12 p.m., then from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., then 8 p.m. to 12 p.m. He goes, so by that time, or 12 a.m., and he's like, so by that time, I've got 3 days in already. You multiply that by a week, I have 21 days in a week. Mm-hmm. You multiply that by a year, and I'm already way ahead. You multiply that by 5 years, good luck catching me. Multiply that by 10, I'm in another atmosphere. And it's like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard.
So what you're telling me is that you own a calculator and you can divide and multiply by 3.
Right. Yeah.
Not, you're not saying what goes into that or no. like how it's benefited you over.
What about your wife and kids?
You look tired and I bet your home life is dog shit.
Yeah. And it's like, what about your wife and kids?
Yeah.
When are you? When, okay, show me in your schedule.
Enjoy
where that
dying before yeah. all of us.
Yeah.
3 times as fast.
Yeah.
How about that?
Like, it's just, it's hilarious to me because that's the other side of podcasts. That's the mm-hmm. other side of this business is, hey, there's a lot of fucking dummies who get to touch mics.
Yeah.
And like, sure, if it works for you, if that worked for him, good for him, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
But some of the most unhappy people are the people that like to throw in your face how they did it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's just like,
it reminds me of like peaking in high school, that concept.
Yes.
And as you may or may not know, sir, you're no longer in high school.
Right.
And you're just trying, I don't know. It's just, it's such a fucking, it drives me nuts going on TikTok and then like seeing all these reels and stuff like that.
It doesn't drive me nuts. It makes me laugh because I'm just like, this is how out of touch some people are. And, but yeah. this is why I say it's not nefarious. I don't think the rich are really, I don't think that they're going, I don't want these people to make it, so like I'm going to suppress them. No, I just think that they're so out of touch with everyday life, like the, because they do, they go, well, why the fuck wouldn't you just break your day down into 3 days?
Yeah.
You know, like, so my thing is they're just so out of touch with the reality around them that they think that anybody can climb out of the mud. And a lot of them aren't starting out in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, Well, yeah, I mean, if you've never been hungry, well, I've never been hungry. Like, well, there's people going hungry. Like, they're even that out of touch. Oh, you know what I mean?
That's the worst.
And so, like, that's what it is. It's just ignorance mm-hmm. is what it is. And we fall by the wayside because of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how we always end up on this, but it's like with the boomers when they talk about, like, oh, you need to pay this. You know, why can't we don't? Why can't, you know, take it out in my fucking taxes? Why can't we take my taxes and do this or do that? And it's like, because I don't need tax raises. Mm-hmm. I can't afford that. You've had your whole life to work. You're probably already retired. Your tax bill is done.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting any more taking out of your fucking paychecks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, so no, let's not do that. And if you are willing to do that, well, then let's pass bills where if you're over 65, your taxes go up. How about that?
Yeah.
But I bet you they wouldn't vote on that.
No, probably not.
Yeah, they would. They'd shoot that down. Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
because half of them are fucking over 65 anyway.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, so I'm very upset right now because my candidate, the candidate that I liked for president, dropped out, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, did he?
He dropped out. I mean, he's a man of his fucking word. Like he said, it's, I'm here for the American people. The American people spoke at the Iowa caucus. Clearly, they don't want me, so I'm going to pull my hat out of the ring. I think what he suffered from is the fact that the media coverage he was getting was so short. He had to get the sound bites in there. He had to get the
mm-hmm.
because he went on the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God. And he also went on Flagrant 2 with Andrew Schultz.
Okay.
And 2-hour conversations. And when he actually breaks down what he means with these sound bites, like, he doesn't want to just go in and dismantle the Department of Education and just, you know, fucking gone.
Yeah.
You know? No, what he wants to do, the way that he wants to restructure it. He wants, hey, why are we giving this money to, why do we continuously dump money? He pointed out the fact that in the state of New York, the schools that are doing the worst are actually the schools that are spending the most money per child.
Interesting. Okay.
So clearly money is not the issue.
Correct.
So why not give that money back to the parents and allow them to pick the school they want to send their children to? You know what I mean? So, like, that's his solution. He wants to get rid of the managerial class. Okay. And I have felt this way for a very long time. There's a lot of people that have positions that they're constantly firing off emails. They're constantly micromanaging because they have to justify why they have a job. Mm-hmm. Because they're not actually contributing anything overall. But if they can micromanage a worker who's very good at their job, they can go, that's because I'm micromanaging them. And the higher ups, because the more money you make and the higher up you get, the more out of touch you get from the fucking working bottom people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They go, yeah, you're right. That's exactly why that's working. And we need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, job justified, so he's going to continue to be like that. And now yeah. that CEO goes, I need to give him a pay raise because I had more production this year, and it's because he was micromanaging. So mm-hmm. now there's more money getting dumped into that.
Right.
And so, like,
and more stress that gets put on the people below that.
Right, exactly. Because then when they start underperforming, he's also the first guy. Basically, what I'm saying is a lot of our structure today in a lot of our corporations, in a lot of, you could cut out the middleman
mm-hmm.
and let it function, you know?
Yeah.
And just let it be what it is. Because here's the thing. No, excuse me. Cough directly into the mic. But I don't think anybody's ever, like, really done that experiment, like, what would happen if I just got rid of, like, the people that I call, Like, I don't need to have six people managing this one unit. I could have one person managing this unit at a significantly higher salary than they're already at, and I'm still probably going to save money.
Yep.
This guy will feel justified even if he has to work a little bit harder. You know what I mean? And it's just, I feel like if corporations started stepping back a little bit, I think that they would realize that they could really, that they probably have a lot more employees that they don't need. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we can do that the same with our politics and all the departments that we have and stuff like that. You know, he talked about he wanted to abolish the FBI. And a lot of people were like, well, that's 30,000 jobs gone. And he makes a very good point, and I've said this. I've echoed this sentiment since days in memoriam from when I first started this podcast. It's not the federal government's job to provide jobs. That's actually true. The exact opposite of what the federal government was designed to do. The states were designed to run themselves, and mm-hmm. the federal government would oversee national security and foreign affairs.
Yeah.
That's about it. And now you're pretty seeing that now you see them stepping on toes. I mean, look at what's going on in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
With I mean, we are fucking really close. Really close to some shit popping off, man. It's the closest we've been other than the Civil War. I mean, you literally have states picking sides.
Mm-hmm.
You have the federal government trying to step in, military force.
Everywhere.
And it's like, this is interesting because here's my thought. Once again, this is the people being too far removed, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do people in Washington, D.C. care about immigrants coming over the border in Texas? It doesn't affect their lives. They don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're too far removed from it, and that's the problem. You know, like, sure, you can, these congressmen and women and the senators and even some of the executive branch, they go down there. They stay for a few days. They think they get a grasp on the situation. But they're not walking the fucking streets of El Paso. They're not walking the fucking streets of Austin or Dallas and mm-hmm. seeing homeless immigrants everywhere or, you know, just or hotels that have no vacancies because they're being used to house illegal immigrants. And it's like, I don't get. We're a nation of laws. If I get pulled over without a seatbelt on, I'm getting the seatbelt ticket. He's not pulling you over to go, wear your seatbelt. He's going mm-hmm. to give you that ticket. So how can we enforce that law so fervently? And yet, we have a law about coming here illegally, and we just let that slide.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never really understood how that's still a
thing?
Like an issue.
Yeah.
A thing, yeah.
Granted,
my experience is probably different than, you know, I don't have to be put into that situation to run that risk of not having the appropriate paperwork or whatever. But
right.
at the same time, I feel like it's always like a highly debated topic around any type of presidential election or, you know, they have these caucuses or caucusi.
Yeah.
And it's still like, I feel like we haven't really made any progress on this issue, and it's been around ever since I can remember. But like, if you don't have the required items,
mm-hmm.
that should just kind of be the end of it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not qualified to speak on any of this, by the way.
No, who is?
Like, but yeah, I guess.
But here's my thing. So, like, it's basic science, right? A lot of people say, you got to listen to the science. Okay, so let's listen to the science. Let's do the math. Math is a science, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are a nation. We have borders. So, therefore, we have a limited amount of land. We have a limited amount of property. We have a limited amount of resources. So if we bring more people in, Those resources have to be taken from one person to be given to another.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, why? Cat Williams dropped the greatest bar of the year when he said,
"Fucking love Cat Williams.
You have an allegiance to losers that is unlike you." I'm not saying immigrants are losers. That's not right. What I'm saying. But that sentiment fits. Mm-hmm. Why do we have an allegiance to people that are not citizens here, that do not contribute to our everyday life, that do not contribute to the success of this country? They haven't yet. I'm not saying that there aren't the immigrants that are here.
Mm-hmm.
My boys at the shop that I know, their families are immigrant families. I'm cool with them. Why? Because I see them working. I see them working hard. I see them contributing to the economy, contributing to our society. You know what I mean?
You're not saying they're incapable either.
Exactly. And I'm not.
I think that gets overlooked real fast.
Yes. And I'm not saying that. And I think where Trump really fucked up with his was they're not sending the best. They're not sending the good people. They're sending the rapists. Like, that was a dumb clip to say. Now, I get what he was trying to say, and he's not wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds harsh.
Right, and that's when he gets dubbed with the racist titles.
Yeah.
And, but again, I've said before on the podcast and off the podcast, like, I've gotten to the point where it negatively affects me to be aware of everything.
Yes.
So, maybe that makes me a bad American. I don't know.
No, it
but
doesn't.
At the same time,
it makes
like
you a human.
Like if you with Vivek, like on those podcasts, you have mm-hmm. 2 hours to break something down.
Right.
But as a candidate or a potential candidate,
you get
you gotta
minutes.
Get yeah. You have to just throw shit out yep. there, and of course, somebody is going to misinterpret it, or yeah, there's a context
fast,
issue.
And how fast are their fucking brains moving? Their mouths aren't keeping up. You know what 100%. I mean? Because they're trying to, in their mind, they're trying to structure what they're fucking saying so that they can get all their points across in this limited amount. It's the dumbest system
you're
that we
have.
You're
speed dating with the American
yes,
people. Like,
absolutely. It's dumbest fucked. System that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have plenty of fucking time from the time people start running for election to the time the election happens. Why? You know what would be genius? MSNBC, NBC, fucking CBS, Fox, CNN. If they did sit down conversations and just said, "Hey, you said this. Explain to me what you meant."
Mm-hmm.
And CNN started doing some of that. They did like town halls and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty dope of them.
Yeah.
And I do think that CNN bringing in that new guy to kind of restructure everything and try to get that. I think they're doing a lot better. Like,
mm-hmm.
let's put it this way. I've started going back to CNN and actually checking like the headlines and stuff.
Right.
Whereas before, like I only got my information from, but much to your point, like you said, it becomes overwhelming to try to keep up with. Like, I listen to Crystal Ball. I listen to Breaking Points with Crystal Ball and Sagar and Jetty, right? And I pay $100 a year to listen to this podcast. I don't really listen at all anymore because it's just like, it's fucking too much, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. It's also negative. And, yeah. like, they even try to separate. They try to do segments on, like, good stuff. And it's, like,
still
it's
turns to shit.
So under, it's so oversaturated, our society, with negative shit. You can't not cover it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the news.
Right.
You have to cover it. But it's, like, it fucking, I mean, it's draining. It's
yeah.
taxing.
And depending on whichever news outlet you
subscribe
to, like, then you have the hosts or people hosting these individuals that come on, and they'll ask them a question, and they'll give the guest a chance to respond, and then immediately it's just attack mm-hmm. to make them either look like an idiot when one person has an entire team of researchers.
They're pundits. They're not news anchors.
Right. And then it's, we kind of get into that argument of like speaking to the host, not all of them, but some of them. I mean, you're kind of an idiot. You're just fucking not necessarily failing upwards, but they're like, well, this is my job to do this. Yeah, but it's not your job to be a prick.
Everybody uses the numbers to justify that. Everybody uses the numbers to justify that the economy is doing well. But here's the thing, man. The numbers are, and you want to know the biggest gripe and complaint about from people right now in everyday fucking life is, why is my company having record profits and my paycheck hasn't gone up? Yes. Why am I still fucking struggling?
Mm-hmm.
Because for me to go buy my fucking product that I produce today at the company I work for, it's 2 times more expensive than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And my paycheck is not 2 times the size that it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you're so fucking out of touch that you can, because you don't have to worry about a paycheck, because your paychecks are fucking massive every time you get them.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't even think about the fact that you're so out of touch. You don't notice it. You don't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't notice that it's $6 for a bag of chips. Like, even the cheap food has become inaccessible to some people.
Yeah. I was, this is a horrible example, but this last weekend, we were coming up from Madison, and I knew that I knew that Kaz would have maybe been stopping over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I'll make sure I've got Dooskies for him
right
at the house.
Yeah.
Stop at Quick Trip. It's $10
for a 12-pack.
And I remember not that long ago, it was like $3.99.
Yeah, when you do, because we would buy all them for the COD points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, dude,
you
absolutely
could go ham for $20, get 5 cases of Mountain Dew.
Right. Because
there's probably like buy 4, get the 5th free or some shit like that. You could be set up for a year with double XP for $20, and you get Dooskies in your fridge.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, gamers live on that shit.
Right.
But.
So, well, and that's exactly
why. My God, you're
going to
go
they,
fucking
they
broke,
partnered.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's, I honestly, too, like, I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but like, I bought a Soda Stream.
Yeah.
Make my own fucking Diet Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, root beer, whatever the fuck I want. And it's like
$8
and for like a bottle of syrup, and it makes like 12 liters.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not drinking all that in one go. Don't get me wrong. But it's also like a healthier option. And it's way cheaper in the long run. You spend $100 on the unit, CO2 tank every couple months for like $20. Guess what? You take it to Target. They give you a refund for that to have it refilled. And then they give you a free fucking tank. So like, you're just forced to find ways now at this point where, like, a couple
of
years
the
ago,
the beauty of us as humans, we find a way to adapt and overcome.
Yeah.
But the problem is we're in a society
cheap ass
where we shouldn't have to adapt and overcome.
Yeah. That's why we're here and not elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it makes me sound like a douche, but whatever. Who cares?
No, no, but you're not wrong. Like, it's not a douche to point out the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not the greatest country in the fucking world?
I mean, if we
aren't, then we need to stop saying we are.
Yeah.
And we need to start.
We haven't earned that recently, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And we need to start working our way towards getting back to that. But if you can truly sit there and say that we are, then how come in a fucking time where there's food everywhere, there's more starving children than ever?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be unaffordable. It shouldn't be 2 working people in a household, or even a single mom with a decent fucking job can't make a go of it.
Right.
Or where they feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my parents weren't crazy well off, but let's put it this way. my mom was able to pay off her student loans in a far faster fashion than Amanda and I will be able to pay off hers. And I know that we're making more money than they did at this juncture in their life.
Yeah, probably by a good amount.
A good margin, probably. And it's just like, we never went without, you know.
Right.
But, like, I remember the budget being tight.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going without. But there are people out there that have to go without.
Yeah.
And we're at a place, and if our S&P 500 is so goddamn fucking high, that shouldn't be the case. If our economy is fucking booming, that shouldn't be the case. I don't give a fuck what job you have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of this. Oh, you raise the minimum wage, you're going to fucking have to raise the prices. Bullshit. Record profits mean that you can keep it at the same fucking price. The profits will come down a little bit, but you're still making a fucking profit.
Yes.
You can pay your employees more. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of this fucking narrative that, oh, you raise the minimum wage to this and a fucking Big Mac's going to cost this. Guess what? The Big Mac already costs that now. I go to McDonald's, I get a Big Mac fucking meal and a couple sides of sweet and sour sauce for my fries, and it's $12.
Yeah, I remember. I sound so old now. Oh, we were talking about it at the start.
Yeah.
But holy shit, I'm realizing I'm old because I could bring a $5 bill through the drive-thru, and if I wanted to donate to the Ronald McDonald Fund after my meal, I could fucking do that. And I'd get the same order that you do.
Yeah.
And now I'm paying 2.5 times that.
Yep.
For a smaller burger.
Remember not that long ago, we had a jingle. $5. Oh, yeah. $5 foot long.
First any. Now it's like, here's two.
Dude.
Here's your Black Forest ham, which is dog shit.
Yeah. Dude. No. Listen, I've always gotten the same fucking thing at Subway.
Mm-hmm.
I get the Italian BMT. And
biggest, meatiest, tastiest.
And I get it set up like a fucking classic Italian, right?
Six pepperoni, 6 salami, 4 slices of Black Forest ham. I'm not racist. I can make fun of Subway. I used to manage one.
Yeah. Right? So now here's the thing. You know what that sub cost me on Monday?
It's going to pain me to
$13.86.
Get the fuck out of here.
$13.86 for a foot-long sub. No soda, no nothing. My foot-long sub. I ate it and went, this ain't $13 quality.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is happening?
Dude, I remember when I would work at Subway and people would come in and they would get an upscaled version of their steak and cheese. It was
right.
It came with double meat and then it was bacon.
Yep.
And one guy, I felt bad ringing up the sub when I was like, okay, that'll be $11.50.
Yeah.
Now this was like 8 years ago, probably. And I also remember people would come in and they'd be regulars and they'd get the sandwich all the time. I'm like, what do your parents do?
Right.
Like, you're fucking balling out, dude. Like, I know that you just got an assload of Subway gift cards because you lived in the apartment above and like your parents probably got you that for Christmas or something.
Right.
But these people would just constantly be ordering that. And I used to be like, damn, I'm not on your level financially.
Yeah, one of and these now, days. Yeah,
that's
one.
A $20 sandwich.
That's a $20 sandwich. That's a $20 fucking sandwich, dude. I got a steak and cheese a few months back because that's the one that I'll switch between the
BMT.
The Italian BMT and the classic steak. $17 for a foot long classic steak.
Good God.
Not extra meat. Not double meat. Not fucking nothing fancy. Just my normal order. And it's like, there's no fucking way. So for people to sit there and go, the economy is better. It's not.
No.
It's not. Because I used to be able to, I lived off of fucking Subway $5 footlongs. I lived off of the McDonald's fucking dollar menu.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You used to wreak havoc on McDoubles and McChickens. I'm not saying you necessarily, no, but no, I used me to go for there, sure. Throw $5 at them, and I got a whole satchel sandwiches. Full of burgers.
Yes, and dude, now it's $3.39 for a double cheeseburger.
Yeah,
I'm not a double cheeseburger. It's a McDouble because it's for something for that extra slice of cheese. Dude, 30 yeah. cents for a fucking slice of cheese at McDonald's.
That's. I just stopped there.
They
days
buy
ago.
In bulk.
Oh, yeah. You can't tell me that McDonald's isn't selling anything. Like, they're not generating that.
What? I guarantee you they maybe pay 3 cents per slice of cheese. That means they're making 10 times their money on one slice of fucking cheese for somebody to get a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
And half the time when people are ordering just like single cheeseburgers, they're saying, hey, keep those onions.
Yeah.
Keep those pickles. Keep that mustard.
I would forgo shopping for groceries and go, I'll buy 10 double cheeseburgers at the beginning of the week for $10 and I'll eat that all week.
Mm-hmm.
That's my, when I was broke, that's my grocery shopping for the week.
Yeah.
Now it's a treat for me to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm like looking at my bank account like, hey, honey, you want to go to a nice dinner?
Yeah. Dude, it's...
Hits the drive-thru.
It's, dude, it's gotten to the point where literally Amanda has come to me and been like, you have to stop going to like McDonald's and Burger King. And I'm like, but this is... It was so cheap back in the day. That's what I... Like... We wouldn't even notice. She wouldn't even notice that I was fucking spending it. Mm-hmm. Because it was a five. I would get 4 sandwiches. I would get 2 McChickens, 2 McDoubles, and a large soda for $5.56.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do that every day and be fine.
Oh, yeah.
And now, it's not even fucking close.
Dude, I wanted to make a nice
salad
this week.
No, hang on. Do I need that much food? Absolutely not. But I could do that.
Yeah, it's the principle you're arguing. It's not necessarily like what...
Right. Yeah. We're not going to sit here and I'm not the epitome of fucking health, okay? So I know a lot of you are going, well, goddamn, Kyle. Yes, I'm fat for a reason. Because that's how I ate for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Fast food has always been poor people food. Because at the end of the day, hey, like I said, I could buy 10 double cheeseburgers and be set for the fucking week.
Yeah.
And you can't do that now.
Mm-hmm. And there's like, I mean, I used to live in Madison, was just down there this past weekend.
Yeah.
I still see like the same homeless people that lived there when I was down there for school.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, honestly, I used to see way more people drinking vodka bottles out of a paper bag than I do down there now when I go down there. Because we always have our list of errands to run when we get down to Madison anyway. Shouts out Raising Cane's on State Street. We got to stop there every time, get that 22-ounce thing mm-hmm. of sauce.
Yep.
Fucking game changer. Anyway, so...
It's the smartest thing they ever did because they have dog shit chicken.
I don't mind it, but I think because we don't have... Well,
when have you ever eaten it without the Raising Cane's sauce?
That's a good fucking point. Never.
Exactly.
So
that's what I'm saying.
I'll give you that.
It's
that's a good
point. The smartest thing they ever did. I once got Raising Cane's. They forgot the cane sauce. And I went, this is inedible.
Damn.
This is dog shit.
I did have a couple... Katie and I refer to it as stanky chicken.
Yeah.
Honestly... It's kind of like McDonald's nuggets, but McDonald's nuggets has a place in my heart.
Oh,
like I know it's dog shit tier food.
No, it's not.
But it does something to me,
it's
man.
100% white
it.
Meat. It's 100% white meat. They get graded.
That's
I used
true.
To work at McDonald's, so I
yeah, and they they're actually pretty transparent about their standards and all of the information. I mean, I think legally they have to be, but regardless,
Little Duval, one of my favorite like comedians or just personalities. He says any foreign country he goes to, the only thing he eats McDonald's.
That's fair.
And they said, and they're like, what? He's like, it's the only thing that I know that's going to have a certain standard to which it needs to be met.
That's just next level play right there. Think of how many vacations people ruin food for themselves because of food poisoning or their body isn't like trained to handle it or whatever.
Look at Evelyn, which is, and Puerto Rico is like not even considered a foreign country, but she got sick off of the one meal that I actually made there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's was crazy. It the meat? You know? And it's
You never know.
You never know. I don't know their fucking processing. Mm-hmm. You know? And it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to mention really quick the homeless folks down there. I, based off of the time we were on State Street, I mean, any given time during the day, you probably see 5 to 10 in the stretch that we were in.
Yeah.
Anyway, not a single one of them was, granted, you're not going to just happen to walk upon a bunch of homeless people getting fucked up.
Right.
But every single one of them was eating food. So that means that they're like reprioritizing what they want or what they need.
Yeah.
To survive.
Right.
Which is like, okay, you want to use that as an argument of things are doing well. That's not fucking true.
No. Yeah.
But it was just something that I took note of right away. I was like, guy was sitting outside of Cane's just maxing on a big ass sandwich, and I'm like, good for you, homie.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, it's I'm not saying it's dire straits, but something's got to give eventually.
100%.
I mean, it's like I said, it's not nefarious. I don't think that it's truly nefarious. I don't think there's a Mr. Burns at the head of the fucking table going,
excellent, Smithers.
Excellent.
Smithers.
Smithers. Smithers, why is our employee able to drive a car? Like, we're paying him too much, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's that. I just think they're so fucking out of touch that they're like, well, obviously, people are still buying it, so it's got to be affordable so we can bump the price up a little bit and we can maximize profits. And it's like, no, it's because it's the problem is what a lot of people are going to see and what a lot of companies are going to see is when the necessities become too expensive to allow us to still afford some of the luxuries, it's the luxuries that are going to fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you're going to see the downturn of the economy in a big way.
Well, and that's the other thing. And that's when the necessities get hurt. Too much, then it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. And because then everybody hurts. Because then they're going, hurts. They're fucking going, oh, our fucking profit margins, we've gone into the red. Shit, now we need to cut jobs. We need to cut pay. Because they'll never go, hey, why don't we try cutting our price? Because the production price, We're still making money hand over foot,
hand over fist.
Hand over fist. Thank you. Sorry, fucking. it's late, but we were making money hand over fist at the price point that it was, the production cost didn't go up at all. Why don't we lower the price so people can start affording it again? And rather than making 70% on it, we're only making 40%. But at least we're still in the fucking green.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they don't do that. They'd rather slash their costs somewhere else. Let's lay people off. And then the economy really fucking takes a downturn.
Yeah.
And then companies need to get fucking bailed out. And who bails them out? Us. The fucking people. Do we get a say in it? No. Mm-hmm. They don't put it to a vote. That's why I laugh at this. I mean, Benjamin Franklin said it the best. He said a democracy allows for the country to be run by idiots or some shit like that.
Yeah.
It's a loose interpretation of what he said. It's a, but he's not wrong at that. But at the same time, it's like, at what point do we recognize that our leaders are no longer worried about their constituents?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of shit that has been talked about that the people were heavily behind that they didn't even bring up. For instance, term limits for congressmen and senators.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Congressmen and women and senators, everybody supports term limits. They don't even bring it up. the minimum wage. That's largely supported at being raised. Largely supported. Mm-hmm. I mean, like 85%. I mean, there's the 15%. They're probably all over the age of 63 and don't actually really understand how money works. But, like, they don't even propose that. You know what I mean? So it's just like, they're clearly, oh, the biggest one, I'm pretty sure, is like 98% of the American people agreed that congressmen and women and senators should not be able to invest in stocks while they're serving. That they're not, that they shouldn't be allowed to, especially, and I think it was 100%, especially if they have a hand in the decision that's made towards those companies, right? Mm-hmm. That has not been brought up. They talked about proposing a bill, and it shut people up. Did the bill ever get presented? Not at all. Or what they'll do is they'll present that bill, but then within there, there'll be all sorts of fucking stipulations and whatnot that have to be met, that then it takes effect, and it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, just laws should not be written that you or I can't read them in one fucking sit down, couple minutes, and fucking read it and go, we agree with it, we don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
The legalese needs to get taken out of it, because here's the thing. Not everybody that's serving on there is a fucking lawyer. They don't understand legalese.
That's why everyone hires one.
Yeah. And it's,
they don't have the time or the know-how
to
navigate any of that.
So it's just like, that's the only thing that's really wrong with like a republic. What happens when those picked to represent you aren't actually representing you? How often do we say after our elections, well, he said he was going to fucking do this, and that didn't even happen.
Every time.
But now he's running on it again.
Yeah.
The perfect example is the abortion. If the Democrats, I say this all the time, if the Democrats truly cared about abortion, they would have drawn up an amendment, they would have amended the Constitution, or they would have fucking whatever it's called when you make it so that it can't be fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
All those times that they had the House and the fucking, the Senate, when they had pretty much power over the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because they don't, because they need something to fucking run on.
Right. And I feel like this is going to be a weird comparison, but they didn't release Back to the Future planning for the success of Back to the Future 2. Like, right. you don't create something. You don't run to support your re-election. You run to get elected. Mm-hmm. And if you don't prove yourself, then no fucking shit, you're not going to get re-elected.
Right.
But it's like, you can't just hold out
no.
at the same time either.
Right. You got to do something. I would really like to look at a breakdown of the effectiveness of people and what they ran on.
That would be interesting to see.
Stuff passed.
Yeah.
And even presented to the floor, because that's the thing, too. I understand that just because something is presented doesn't mean that it's going to pass.
But at least it's a swing at the plate.
Exactly. At least you're taking a fucking shot.
Mm-hmm.
How often does that shot get taken mm-hmm. is what I would like to know.
And it's not like, oh, hey, this, you know, ad hoc request comes through that's a low priority item and oh shoot, sorry, yeah, we lost touch on this item, you know, it didn't get lost in the weeds. I mean, this is a fucking law or a bill or something that affects what's our population now?
360 to 370 million,
yeah,
give or take a few hundred million illegal immigrants
but for the right price,
right? Well, and like, and then it's just hilarious because, like, you see the obviousness of what the fuck they're trying to do. The fact that Biden told the Venezuelans they can't come in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would he do that? Well, because Venezuelans are coming from a communist fucking country and they don't like socialistic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to vote for people who tend to present socialistic ideas like free healthcare, like, mm-hmm. you know, And that's my thing. Like, if we cut the bullshit we spend money on, there's no reason why we wouldn't be able to afford free healthcare in this country.
Oh, yeah.
But we continue to allow them to spend the fucking money willy-nilly. And then we want to blame the idea. Then we want to blame the poor folks who need fucking welfare. Like, what are we doing? Why are we attacking one another when clearly the problem is at the head of the fucking table?
Mm-hmm. A lot of Kool-Aid going around.
Well, first off, that narrative needs to die.
That's true.
It's not Kool-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid. He couldn't even fucking spring for the good shit. Okay?
What a bitch.
What a
well,
bitch. Oh, wow. I just busted my fucking microphone.
Well, if he couldn't afford it back then, sure as fuck can't afford it.
Can't even afford Flavor-Aid now.
Nah.
Yeah, I just... It's very upsetting. But this is also, like you pointed out, this is the reason why you try not to keep up with it, because it is so depressing.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting and so fucking depressing. And it's like, why can't I just do my due to society, put in my 40 hours a fucking week and make a go of it? Why mm-hmm. do I need to put in 50 hours a week to make a fucking sustainable living?
Yeah. I talked about it before and I don't really.
And then how come you get punished when you put in that overtime?
Also true. You get railed.
Yeah, you get fucking railed. What are we talking about?
It doesn't matter your rate per hour or your salary.
Yeah.
Well, salary you can't get overtime. But like...
Oh, and they take advantage of that.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I've... The two salary jobs I've had...
Amanda's salaried and it's
oh,
like,
is she?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, fuck. And,
yeah.
Yeah. What a dumpster fire. That is, I mentioned it before, but I mean, I've been diagnosed with major depression for however long.
Same.
I'm heavily medicated for it. I don't have to look very hard to find shit that affects me negatively. So
yeah,
something that I can willingly cut out is something that unfortunately I understand the importance of voting, but mm-hmm. mine isn't going to change anything.
No.
At least, maybe that's a bad outlook to have, but I've always had that outlook.
I keep going back to this man. I guess he influences
me. I double back
a lot,
on myself.
Which is hilarious because, like, I completely disagree with him on everything politically. And that's another thing where I'm like, see, why can't it be like Charlemagne the God I listen to fucking religiously, and yet I don't agree with any of his fucking politics.
Mm-hmm.
But he presents it in a way where I can understand it, I can break it down, I can digest it, and I can reiterate why I don't agree with it.
Yeah, but you also respect,
but I
like,
respect
where
his
he's
opinion.
Coming from and
exactly.
his opinion.
Because I know that he cares.
You can do it
he
and not be malicious or an asshole
and
or anything.
He thinks that that's the way about going solving issues for people. I don't agree with it, but I can respect that it's coming from a good fucking place.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he gives everything the time of day, too. Like, he respects the issues in hopes that, with how he presents that, agree or disagree, that you can respect him. He's not asking much of his listeners or the people who consume what he does.
Right. So, he has a saying that this year's election is between the coward, the criminal, and the couch. Because it's either going to, you're either voting for Joe Biden, who clearly is a coward. Criminal, obviously Donald Trump, 93 mm-hmm. fucking charges. I mean, are they trumped up charges? A lot of them are, but whatever. I digress.
Marvelous.
or the couch, because people aren't going to be inspired to go out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the largest turnout ever for a presidential election in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we will see the lowest turnout.
I was going to say, I'm not surprised to see that was most.
Right, but the biggest issue is that once again, so then we just go ahead and we supersede, and this is what's hilarious to me, because people go, well, they can't just do that, Kyle, that's why it's not getting passed, and it's like, but they superseded the Constitution and made mail-in balloting
mm-hmm.
legal.
Right.
And they left that up to the states.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's a lot more Democratic states than there are, well, actually, that's not true, but the Democratic states that voted to allow that, guess who they are? The biggest states
mm-hmm.
with the largest fucking Electoral College.
I was going to say, they're not. It's not like a close, as far as my, again, my knowledge, not that great. But they're not swing states either.
Right.
So, and swing states, like what, Wisconsin has like 10 electoral votes?
Yeah. We're a massive swing state.
Holy fuck, where did I pull that from?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
We're a massive swing state.
Absolutely.
We look at it. Look, perfect example. Look at our local government. We have a Republican House of Representatives for our state. Our senators that were elected are Republican. Well, mm-hmm. No, one Republican, one Democratic. Perfect split. And then our governor is a Democrat. We're as purple fucking gets.
No shit.
And we make it fucking work.
Yeah.
And so it's just like,
people still say we're nice as fuck.
But once again, I also think that there's not as big of a divide between the two parties as people think.
No, definitely not.
And I'll tell you why. Because how do we have a Democratic governor and we have a fucking Republic Senate or a Republic? Yeah, I don't know if it's a Senate or House of Representatives, whatever. You know the fuck, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck it is. How is it that we have one red, one blue, and yet we're sitting on $7 billion and neither one of them's going, this money needs to go back to the people, or we need to spend it on infrastructure or other shit.
Mm-hmm.
But this money needs to be gone.
Yeah.
It either needs to go back to the people or it needs to go into fixing shit.
Yeah.
But it needs to be gone because we overtaxed our citizens. So it either needs to get used or it needs to get refunded. No one's bringing that up.
Incredibly similar.
Exactly.
That's why, man, the two-party system, I just go green.
Well, yeah. So, and that's the thing. Like, that's why it stinks that Vivek was so stringent on, like, no, I'm going to run as a Republican. I'm going to, because on a lot of social issues, that's the other thing that I feel too, man. We need to separate social issues from, like, core value issues. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't appear on the same fucking ballot. They shouldn't.
No.
They shouldn't be. You should vote. I believe any social issue should be democratically voted on. The people vote on that issue. And it should be written very clear. Yes, no question. Do you think abortion should be legal? Yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
You vote for it. Everybody says yes. Okay, we'll make abortion legal. Now, next one. What do you think the cap on it should be? 12 weeks, 24 weeks, 36 weeks, 18 years? You know, you could abort your child 17 years into it if you don't like it. You know?
Imagine.
Yeah, just make a fucking multiple choice, right?
Yeah.
Whichever one gets the majority vote, that's the one that fucking passes.
Mm-hmm.
Because social issues shouldn't sway how you feel about a person and how they're going to run the country. Because the social issues don't really fucking matter in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't put food on your fucking table. It doesn't protect your home. It doesn't protect your investments. It doesn't protect your lifestyle.
Right.
I mean, I guess technically it does protect your lifestyle, well, yeah. Especially if it's like gay marriage or something like that.
But all of the proceeding of what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
It doesn't affect that. So why does it get talked about with the fervor that, but meanwhile you have a guy like Rand Paul who comes out and he's like, or Vivek, and they're like, no, what we need to do is we need to focus on the budget. And, like, make sure that we're spending the money where it needs to go. And everybody's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about
this.
Can
gays get married or not? That's what mm-hmm. I care about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I think, with what you just said. And what's funny is, and only playing devil's advocate, not because I believe this, but I just know what would happen is everyone would, they'd rather take thousands of people to try and tear apart the idea that you suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take, in length of time total over those thousands of people, years, maybe over the course of 6 months or a year or whatever, to be like, yeah, but these issues or these social issues do affect our financial investments somehow. And it's like you're wasting so much extra time and money just trying to, like, instead of taking it on the chin, taking the L, being a man about it, however you want to phrase it, they would just rather sit there and pick for days and days and days and weeks and months and years to debunk the legitimacy of proposing of that which is so fucked.
It's so dumb. Rather than trying to build on it or come up with a better solution,
exactly,
they're just going to tear it the fuck down.
Let me
down.
Prove why it's wrong. Let me expose more negatives about this shit, further proving why I don't want
to
get involved with
you're
this.
You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what?
Who's the fucking idiot? You just wasted years to disprove what I took 30 seconds to say, you know?
Right. Rand Paul, one of my favorite things that he pointed out was, like, we spent, like, $313 million a few years ago studying the effects of marijuana on a person's motivation. And, like, he's like, I could do that study with my kids' friends in my basement.
That is hilarious.
Like, what are you talking about? He's like, or you could just draw from the crowd. You could go, okay, who are some really well-known weed smokers?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, Joe Rogan. They're pretty motivated and successful. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good sample size.
That's a pretty good sample size to me. Legalize it. Like, it's just like, what are we?
And I don't know if I've ever spoken on it, but whether you use it or not, I mean, people are going to use it anyway.
Yeah.
And at least if it's in a regulated situation, now with all of the shit about, like, fentanyl, for example.
They're starting to put it in weed now, too.
Yeah. And that's just it.
Now
it's
you're
like,
freebasing fentanyl.
Yeah. Which,
nice.
Good on you.
Yeah. Woohoo. Like,
it's just like,
but,
I don't know.
So it's hilarious to me because they go, well, we can't legalize weed because we need to protect the people. But instead, let's just let people die of overdoses on a fucking fentanyl. And where the fuck was that energy about protecting the people when you guys were letting opiates run a fucking rampant?
Yes.
It's like, what are we talking about? You're pissing on me and you're telling me it's raining and it's starting to upset me. Like, that's, I mean, yeah. But, I mean, we can move on from that shit. Like, I mean, another thing that's been pissing me off lately. Honestly, I think we might just need to fucking rename this podcast to What's Pissing Me Off. Well, like, all this hate for Taylor Swift. You think Taylor Swift's the one that wants to be shown on TV every time? No, she don't give a... She's there to have a good fucking time.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious is, like, it's not really affecting the game. Because if you go to the game, I went to the Packers Chiefs game. They didn't show Taylor one time on the Jumbotron in there. Not once.
Yeah. I watched that game. Well, obviously I'm double invested, but I'm a Packers fan first and most.
Yeah.
But in areas of struggle, it's been easier to resort to the Chiefs in the last few years. But I've always liked both teams.
I have my AFC team.
Yeah.
I've always been very partial to the Tennessee Titans.
I've always wanted them to succeed.
Yeah, same. I've always been very partial to the Tennessee Titans, and I've always been very partial to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I was a big Peyton Manning fan.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that's where
that started,
for me.
Yeah, same here.
God damn.
I was a big Marvin Harrison fan, too. And I was like, I just like watching these two teams fucking play.
When he went to the Broncos, I was invested heavily.
Yeah.
Happy you got to win a Super Bowl with them. Yeah. Unfortunate that they got steamrolled by the Seahawks. Yeah. I think it was against the Seahawks back in like 2013, something like that.
Yeah, 2014 when he set all those records. Which is hilarious. Because the year that he was the greatest quarterback, the greatest quarterbacking year any player has ever had, they lose the Super Bowl. Then the next year, he's like a shell of himself, and they win the Super Bowl.
What they played Carolina. Yeah. Which
it was the defense that fucking won that game.
Lord knows if they'll be back anytime
Peyton
soon.
Peyton Manning has the lowest QBR and QB rating of any Super Bowl winning
like
quarterback
in the Super Bowl. Oh, wow.
Before him, it was Trent Dilfer.
I still say that I was waiting multiple times when if he would were to have taken a sack. Yeah. If when the pile of bodies clears, it's just a jersey and like just his pants and shoes and dust.
Dust. Yeah.
I thought he was in for a rough go, but apparently, obviously,
he did enough to get him there. He did enough to keep them in it, and he did enough to win the game. And that's all that really matters. But
yeah, Taylor fucking Swift.
Yeah, but it's just like, and people are hating on, like, I don't understand the hate. Like, I'm not a Taylor fan. I am a big fan of her old shit. I will say that. But, like, I think what frustrates me about it is, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why all the hate?
Yeah. They if anything, it's more eyes on the sport.
Yep. Yeah, Well, J.J. Watt asked A.Q. Shipley because A.Q. Shipley has been big against, like, showing celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Taylor. It's all celebrities. He's
I mean, look at Eminem in the last couple games.
Yeah, he's like, I don't fucking need to see them. I don't care about them. But like J.J. Watt said, he goes, A.Q., how many years did you play in the league? And he goes, 12. He goes, did you enjoy the paychecks? And A.Q. goes, yeah, of course. And he goes, right. So what's wrong with bringing more eyes to our sport so that there's more money to go around so that the paychecks get bigger?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's bringing people to watch the games that normally would not watch the game. Now, what I will say was annoying when I went to the Packers-Chiefs game, there was a lot of people around me just going, where's Taylor? Do you see Taylor? Which box is she in? And it was all chicks, but it's like, whatever. You know, I don't give a fuck.
What kind of sucks is I feel like it's easier to go to a football game more financially. You're more financially capable of being able to go to a Packers game or an NFL game than getting close tickets to Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, that's a whole other issue. But
yeah.
if people are going to the games, people are watching the games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing bad from it. Like, maybe they're not as invested in the competition, but who cares? It's like, it doesn't affect you and your enjoyment of it. If you're a diehard fan, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, that's my biggest thing, is it's like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
No one gives a shit. One of my favorite things, though, that's been coming out is there's a lot of hate coming out for Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
This year, he's done very poorly for his image. Obviously, the blow up against the Buffalo Bills, the fucking with Justin Tucker's kicking stand, you know.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he kept kicking the ball away and kicking the kicking stand away. And then, like, he had the audacity to come out, and he's like, I always have this pregame ritual. It's never been an issue. It's only three times that it's been an issue that no kicker would move for me, and that it's been at the Ravens every time. And it's like, right, and Justin Tucker is the greatest kicker of all time. And while you may not think that that's an important job, when you fail at your job, those are the people that bail you out and go, well, at least they got 3 points out of it. Justin Tucker has his pregame ritual in his fucking home stadium that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So why the fuck do you get to fuck with his shit?
No kidding.
Who the fuck are you? No one gives a fuck about you, Patrick. That's what it means on the fucking road.
Yes.
So that was very unlikable, but it was very funny because people were like, we just never seen this side of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm like, you think the same household that produced Jackson Mahomes?
I was just going to say.
That Patrick was going to be far behind? Just complete opposite? Not at all.
He's just had training.
Yes, he's in there. Exactly. He's had a publicist in his ear. He's had PR people in his ear. And the veil fell a little bit this year, and we're actually seeing who he actually is.
Yeah.
I've never liked Patrick.
But anybody has that potential, like any human being, right? Like,
because everybody gives Russell Wilson shit about being fake, and that's how I've always felt about Patrick. I'm like,
yeah,
this isn't at all what you want to be saying. Patrick very much seems the type of guy that when he gets home from the game, he's like, and whatever his fucking bitch wife's name is. And she's like, what happened today after loss? He's like, well, honey, have you fucking seen my wide receivers? They're all dog shit. They got fucking pricks for hands. Fucking, I'm out here risking my life and fucking limbs. And he's, I've just always thought that about him.
And I, again, Chiefs fan here, but right. I'll say the same thing. With everything that we've seen of him in media or endorsements or whatever, or in any type of content. By the way, I've noticed a lot of NFL teams really, really diving into like content that engages you a lot more.
Yeah.
Seeing a lot more
the
footage.
Chargers
and larger,
are great at that.
Fantastic. We saw at the start of the season, the Jets had that like HBO thing going on.
Hard Knocks. Yep. And then Hard
which
Knocks
is really
in
cool
season
to see
with the Dolphins.
Yeah. And seeing it in a more uncensored form, like on other social medias, like sure things are censored, but like it's way different than it used to be when you'd have the news crew in there.
Oh yeah.
On the rare occasion that they could be in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always a, this is too good to be true type of thing.
Yeah.
Mike Holmgren, we saw him like pick somebody up by the collar at one point.
Yeah.
I forget who it was. I think it was maybe like Bill Schrader or something.
Probably.
Kept like dropping shit.
Yeah.
And he fucking took his hands on him almost on the sideline at the game.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah, I mean, again, sure, he's had training to be a bit more
reserved.
Yep. Great. But it's in there somehow. I mean, you're competing, and it's a very aggressive sport at the same time, too. So it's bound to show at some point. And now that we're seeing it, and we haven't really seen it as much in years when they've been more qualified to beat in the Super Bowl, as far as I'm concerned.
So we
I understand why people are flipping their shit.
We would see it a lot out of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But the difference that I think is when you're watching Tom Brady do it, you're going, oh, this is constructive criticism. I feel like anything Mahomes does, he's probably a destructive critic.
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying, hey, let's work on this. Let's build this up. Let's be better. Like Tom is, but he's like yelling it. He's like, I know you're fucking better than that, so be fucking better than that. That's different. You know what I mean? I feel like Patrick is probably a little bit more of a destructive criticism. Like,
yeah,
are you really
like
fucking? Are you fucking kidding me? I can't believe you fucking did that.
He's,
you know what
he
I mean?
Acts more out of emotion, I feel like, as opposed to Tom, which is he's very logic driven.
Yes.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's the GOAT, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
you gotta say that.
So it was really funny because I also love that Tom's leaning into the fact that he's the GOAT because he went to the zoo with a friend of his.
Okay.
And I love that Tom Brady is on like a TikTok account, like has a TikTok
account. Oh, yeah.
But it's a video there where he goes, oh, here comes the Mahomes exhibit, and it's all goats.
Yeah.
And Tom just starts cracking up. He's, you know, the caption was, who needs enemies with friends like this?
Yeah.
And it's just it's hilarious because it's like, yeah, like, so my thing was, I never liked Tom because people tend to hate greatness. It's true. Mm-hmm. But I really did. I was like, it's all Bill Belichick's system.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he won that Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, I found myself actually liking him. And
I agree.
Wow. Burp right into the mic. Jesus Christ. I'm just, ooh, that one stinks. But, but yeah, like, I love, like, now I really do enjoy Tom, and you could tell that he is just a genuinely nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sweetheart of a fucking man with a crazy competitive drive.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I don't know. I could be talking out of my ass, I'm sure. But, I mean, perfect example. Tyreek Hill was not exactly super friendly about the departing of Kansas City and did not have great things to say about Patrick. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I get upset with the Aaron Rodgers fucking hate, because it's like, okay, but all his teammates come out and say, no, this fucking dude is all about the team, all about having our backs, and they don't need to do that. They could just be silent and let the shit happen.
Because they're probably...
But they take up for him.
It was probably reinforced that you should keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck that. That's not what... And that's not what the franchise is about either.
And in the meantime... Excuse me. Fuck me. Because this is podcasting at its best, folks. But in the meantime... You've only ever had two fucking teammates in 18 years come out with anything negative to say about Aaron. And that's JerMichael Finley, who's probably bitter that his career was cut short. And Greg Jennings, who was probably bitter that he lost his quarterback because Aaron Rodgers was getting the job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious to me because... There's a lot of media members who'll be like, and Aaron just thinks the media's out to get him, media's out to get him. And it's like, yeah, because every time you talk about him, you shit on him. But then meanwhile, everybody who actually matters, like his teammates and whatnot, whenever they talk about him, they're like, this is the greatest fucking guy ever.
Yeah. It's very, it's just an interesting, I don't know the right way to phrase it. You might have to bail me out here because I also started saying what I was about to, and then my train of thought completely left the station.
It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, all I was gonna add. Not much that I was gonna add.
But
to
it
that,
is.
But you summed it up well.
Yeah, I mean it is, and it's just funny to me because, well, and I've always disliked Patrick Mahomes also because, and partially not for his fault, and I also think that it's the reason why Taylor gets so much hate. It's because of the way that the media acts about him and around him. You know, like, I mean, Chris Collinsworth, like, just has his balls permanently on his chin. And, like, because it's irritating because, like, Matthew Stafford will make a throw. Like, the one time Aaron Rodgers actually came out and was like, we need to fucking stop with this shit, is Chris Collinsworth had made a comment, like, on a throw that Matthew Stafford made, a no-look throw that Matthew Stafford made, he goes, that's something that you only see out of guys like Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's a Mahomes-type throw. And Aaron's like, that's fuck. Aaron literally is like, all right, that's fucking far enough. He's like, Matthew Stafford has been doing that since the day he fucking came into the league. He's been doing it since fucking college. He goes, and you know who was doing that before him? Me and Brett Favre. He goes, me and Brett Favre would have fucking competitions at practice to see who could complete the most no-look passes in a row. And then we would do it in the fucking game, too. Like, it's not unique to Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It's a style of play that other people have done that works well. And like Aaron said, he goes, does he make it look easy? 100%. It's awesome. It's great. Because I love watching Patrick play. He goes, but we need to stop with the crowning of the next goats and all this, and just ripped it by the fucking media.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is threatened by Patrick Mahomes and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's, you're missing the whole fucking point of what he was saying.
Right. And it's player tendency and behavior. And you're gonna look at who you learned from and people that you take inspiration from.
I always say, to people who talk shit about Aaron Rodgers, I always say, yeah, well, your favorite football player, his favorite football player is Aaron fucking Rodgers.
It's perfect. Proves your point.
Yeah.
Shuts him up. Yeah. They're probably like, shit, I never thought about that. And you have nothing to come back with.
I guarantee you, if you watch any of those NFL top 100, whenever they fucking talk about Aaron Rodgers, the guys that they interview, they go, he's the best. He's the best there's ever been. Arm talent-wise, fucking quarterback play-wise, he's the best that's ever
Leadership,
been.
Leadership, like, he checks all the boxes.
Tom Brady is the GOAT because Tom Brady figured out how to fucking win. That's mm-hmm. what he was great at. I'm going to fucking win. I'm going to win no matter fucking what. It's that Jordan mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron probably has the same thing. I mean, if we want to get into it, you could compare the fact that Tom Brady had 15 top 10 defenses in his career. Aaron Rodgers had one top 10 defense in his career, and that's the year we'll win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Like, and it's like you could draw parallels. I was talking about on COD Logic about the fact that Aaron Rodgers would put up 31 or average, like, Aaron Rodgers' defenses in the playoffs average 31 points
mm-hmm.
a game. You know, so, like, his defense was giving up 31 fucking points a game. It's very hard to score 30-plus in a fucking NFL yeah. game, let alone the fucking playoffs.
How infrequently one team can earn five touchdowns with yes. an extra point is
right.
pretty insane.
Pretty insane.
Like, that's pop-off potential.
Yeah. But anyway, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I'm fucking falling asleep in my chair. Josh, if you want to let these people know where they can find you.
Absolutely. Again, thanks for having me on. If you're curious about where you can find me on my socials, you can go to Twitter at Woke Up Dream Team. You can also check out the COD Logic podcast available, much like this one, on all major streaming platforms. That is the COD Logic podcast. You can get involved with that show. It's more gaming-oriented and competitive Call of Duty on the casual side. If that happens to be the thing that puts the spring in the step, you can reach out codlogicpodcast@gmail.com. I think I said Twitter at COD Logic podcast as well. Or if you like video game streaming, some mediocre content with some mediocre gameplay, you can find that at Woke Up Dreaming on twitch.tv as well.
Perfect. Obviously, for me, you guys can reach out gibberishpod@gmail.com. You can also catch me on COD Logic with Josh. Reach out Twitter, TinoHeat05, otherwise gibberishpod1 on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck you call it. And yeah, I mean, that's about it. Follow our Facebook page, Gibberish Podcast.
Still need to do that.
Yeah. And if you guys like what you heard today, that's awesome. If you didn't, it doesn't really matter. Because at the end of the day, it's all just gibberish. Peace.